on this episode of The Variety Show.
Oh, hi, everyone. Yeah, I can breathe so clearly now. Listen, so I'm walking along, I'm just going... It's like, no, that just sounds like a paedophile at a child's window.
Arcade machines of the past.
That Sega Rally and Daytona are two games that if they are in an arcade, and I'm going to one, I will play them.
Yeah,
I will absolutely play
them. You can't not play those games. They're just absolutely bloody brilliant.
Is it a real museum?
Oh, touch, sniff, and admire over 3,000 slabs of bark, including a celebrity section featuring splinters from the world's most famous trees. He's gone, ladies and gents.
Splinters from the famous trees.
Milky Way or Candy Caramel, a battle of fake chocolate bars.
So bag number two, the one that we both rated...
The worst.
The worst is an actual Milky Way.
No way.
Sit back, put your headphones on, and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to The Variety Show with me, Tom, and...
Me, Rob.
Wow, you sounded like a Sega Mega Drive. Me, Rob. Anyway, sorry, right. Welcome back to The Variety Show. We've got a load packed in for today, and for once... We're going to do something in the introduction.
Okay.
I know. Normally, I'd just like create section after section and we'd just go for it. But no, I'm actually going to bring these up because they're all really tiny and I think we can get away with just doing them in the intro. So first things first, there isn't a new trailer for Superman, which is a shame because I'm really looking forward to Superman. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to it or?
I'm eager to find out how they're going to put all of those characters that are in the trailer into the film.
Yeah, I'm quite excited by that one. But what I was more excited by... was literally just shown James Gunn on set talking to one of the robots that we see carrying Superman to heal him. They're practical.
Okay.
The majority of those robots are practical. So yeah, the bit where they're strapping him down and holding him down, it's going to be CGI, but the bits where you see them walking along from the waist up, they're completely practical, full motion, full movement.
That's
it's just
cool.
So amazing
so
to
see.
So is
it someone in like a green morph suit and then they've got a kind of puppet on their head?
Well, no, it's literally a life-size robot puppet on wheels that they're wheeling along when you just see it from the way. And it's fully animatronic, so they're going to have remote controls, a bit like Johnny Five does in Short Circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Tudyk's the voice because, of course.
Of course he is.
Just who else are you going to get at this point? I just thought it was a really cool thing, the fact that the special effect is actually practical for that. I was so surprised when I saw it. And it just looks phenomenal, even in like these behind-the-scenes bits. And it just seems that he's releasing a load of behind-the-scenes stuff because there's a bit where he's like chatting to the makeup person about saying, oh, we've got to give him the bowl cut, and I really want to bleach the side of his hair because we can see the side of his hair, so can we bleach them and then just make him walk around all day, every day with just these... blonde sides of his head, and then it just pans, and you've got I want to call him Nolan. That's his name in The Rookie. I can't think of his name now. The one that's playing Guy Gardner or whatever his name is, the Green Lantern. He's like, I am here, you know. It's like, yes, I love it. Anyway, so that was point one. As you can see, nice and short.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, and oh shit, I was meant to be recording this. Oops, hang on. Let me turn the camera on because this is the bit that people. Well, people aren't going to want to see this, but you never know, they might do. Oh, no, it's not turning on. Rob, fill the blank space. Have
blank
you got anything? Don't sing Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift.
I can't think of a Taylor Swift song.
Well, blank space.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, everyone, if you're going to be watching this. My hair is dreadful. I haven't had it cut.
Well, I'm ginger.
You look like an unsheared sheep.
Oh, Sean the Sheep.
Getting it cut in a couple of days, at least.
Anyway, let me start this recording.
Press the button.
Yeah, that is it.
So why are we filming this?
Right, we're recording this because I'm going to put this up on TikTok. So,
TikTok. We like TikTok.
TikTok, and I'll probably put it on YouTube as well. I bought ages ago. This is advertised all over the place. There you go. Look, you get two of those on. You peel them off and you stick them on each side of your nose. Just one on each side of your nose. These are all over TikTok
they look like
shop.
Pretend zits.
They're not pretend zits. They're lumps of metal you're going to stick to your nose with basically sticky plaster. And people that are watching the video, hi everyone. You can see that's what I'm just doing now. No,
can't fucking open the pack.
Well, I just stuck it to my glasses, so I wouldn't worry. I'll take those off for the moment. Right, stick it to the side of your nose.
Is there a particular way you got to do it? Because it's got a curve and everything.
I don't really know. However it fits on your nose, but try and get it into the metal bit, goes into the divot part of your nose. So this bit here, that divoty sort of bit there, you want to get it on there, okay? I've got greasy skin, so these don't stick very well at all. But on TikTok Shop, you can buy these, and they come with a piece of plastic. I know it's ridiculous, but this is what we do for content. Okay, so...
Are you not entertained?
You better fucking be entertained.
Right, I'm in my divot. Okay.
Okay, good. So you give it a little bit of a squeeze and they stick on. And we'll talk for a moment while they dry. Ha ha. Yeah, you've done yours way better than I've done mine.
Have I? Okay.
So these are meant to stop you snoring. Now, first of all...
Oh, my wife would love these.
Yeah, they don't work. Oh. So all the adverts you see on TikTok, okay, what it is, it's often a woman going, oh, my partner keeps me awake in sleep. But luckily, when he's asleep, use this. And then he's laying there asleep... And she puts it on and suddenly he stops snoring. Mm. And then the other way they sell it is they say, look, listen to my breathing without the nose clip. And they get really close and they do this. I don't know if this is going to work on the microphone. Hopefully it will. And they do this. So, yeah, okay, because we all really breathe like that. Great. Mm-hmm. Then they get this little plastic black clip. Look, it's a bit of plastic with some magnets. And they bring it up to their nose and they clip the metal on. And it doesn't work anymore. Brilliant. That's a really good bit of kit there I've managed to buy. I actually think the magnets have stopped working on it.
How can the magnets stop working? You put it near something.
No, I think I've got the stickers in the wrong spot. So, oh God, this hurts. Ow, 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 ow. Doesn't actually hurt.
This is
like
the feature that we talked about doing, TikTok or Tic Tac.
Yeah, 100%.
And we never actually got around to doing it.
Oh, that's in the right place now and it's just come off.
Fucking hell. I think this is Tic Tac.
Oh my God. It is total and utter tat, mate. Total and utter tat. 100%.
This is supposed to open up your airways, I'm guessing.
So, yeah, all the adverts. So you'll get these people saying, oh yeah, it opens up the airway, and then they'll do listen to how I sound. And then they put it on, and then, look, there you go, it's work. And then they go, listen, it sounds so much better. I can get so much more air in. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, so I'm going to walk around the world now, am I? I'm just going, oh, hi, everyone. Yeah, I can breathe so clearly now. Listen, as I'm walking along, I'm just going. It's like, no, that just sounds like a paedophile at a child's window. You know, it's just not a good way of doing it. So that's problem number one. You do not breathe like that. Listening to these microphones, you would know if we breathe like that day to day. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You see if you can get your nostrils open. You can see what it feels like.
What way does that go?
I really don't know. Give it a try both ways. But the point is, it doesn't stop you from snoring either, because you do not snore from your nose. And so many people are just, they're buying these. They really are buying these by the fucking truckload. And it's like, well, hang on. To understand snoring, if you're laying on your back in bed and you've got a blocked nose, your body immediately goes, oh, I'm not getting enough oxygen. I'll breathe through my mouth.
Yeah.
And that's where snoring comes in. Normally it's because you're fat, and I'm a fat fucker at the moment, okay? I'm fully admitting of that. That's why I snore.
I don't get it. It's not doing anything for me.
Yeah, you just feel it gently pull out the side of your nose, and that's it. But anyway, snoring is not that. It's the fatty tissue in your throat, and it's your tongue gently sliding backwards. Probably got some blackheads out.
I was just thinking, I could do some blackhead removing, actually. Yeah, you could put them all on.
Yeah, your tongue gently slides back. It blocks the back of your throat and it reverberates. That is what snoring is. These nose things are shit. They are never going to work. Stop buying them. I tried it. I did it one night just to prove a point, and then woke up, went to the wife. So... it stopped me snoring last night, did it? And I believe her words were, did it fuck?
It's a classic gem phrase. So, I like that.
So there you go. So TikTok Shop stuff, crap. But...
So the thing is, sorry to go, I can just imagine her perfectly saying that to you.
Well, on the good news, I did buy something that wasn't shit.
Okay.
Now, we talked about this last recording.
I've brought loads of stuff that isn't shit from TikTok, by the way.
No, I have as well, to be fair. But I bought something from Amazon that wasn't shit and actually really, really like it. Now, we talked about this in the last recording. Now, you wouldn't have heard that because we were talking about it after we'd packed up of doing the Untitled Sci-Fi show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was where we talk about the fact that our wives closed the windows and we would, even in the middle of the winter, would sleep with the windows open if we could.
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't have kids walking around the house, I would sleep complete bollock naked.
Yep.
With the windows open. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is I have to have something over me that I can't get sleep without at least a sheet over the top of me. It just feels unnatural. My body just, I go into the old ADHD T-Rex pose with the wrists out. It's like, I don't like this. So I have to have a sheet. And even they're too hot. Well, this is a huge, huge one. I didn't realize it was as big as it is. This is called a cooling sheet. Now, there's a company called Oodi that make them,
mm-hmm.
and they're stupid amounts of money. This is Amazon Chinese knockoff territory. Okay. So this is by a company called Homfine.
Oh, I like the name.
But you know what? It works perfectly. So it's called a cooling blanket. It's designed to wick away moisture from your body. And that's the cooling mechanism that gym shirts have and everything like that. I'm going to throw it over to you and you're going to immediately go, oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. That's going straight on my legs.
It does. And straight away, it's cold. Now, the fun thing is, I thought, rubbish, it's going to be within half an hour, it's going to be warm. I slept the first night with that.
Mm-hmm.
It got to 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to go and get the sheet because I was cold.
Cold. This is incredible.
So they're designed to be or keep your body 3 to 4 degrees lower than your body temperature. So if your body temperature is 37 degrees centigrade, it's meant to keep a lower temperature of about 34 degrees mm-hmm. centigrade instead below. That's just,
so would this work in like a really hot day?
That's what I'm looking forward to finding out. So we've not had any really hot days.
This is
Sod
just
law, ordered it. It didn't come when it's hot. So I'm looking forward to getting to that midsummer, that horrible night where you're like, I don't want a fan on because it's noisy. And I can't wait to have that.
It's a really nice texture as well.
It's so silky
it's
and
lovely.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Oh. And it really is cool. It really does feel cold to touch.
Yeah, that's surreal.
But anyway, I'll give you the link afterwards.
Yeah, go on.
Look, boys, we all know you like a tangent or three, but try and stay on the right subject, yeah? Okay, the boys talk arcade memories for our new listener, James.
Right. One thing I did forget to bring up in the intro, which I was insistent I was going to do, but I'll do it here.
You put it first.
I know I did, and I completely ignored our own call sheet. So thanks for that, Rob. Thanks.
You're welcome.
We have a new follower called James, who has been so tremendously positive about the show, mm-hmm. which has just been an absolute breath of fresh air for us. We love him to bits. And he's come and joined the new Reddit page. I'll tell you about that at the end. He's posted on Blue Sky. He listens to us, and he's actually listened to us because he's actually telling us things about the show that we've done that even we've probably forgotten. But he has said he's really enjoyed the gaming stuff that we've spoken about. Now, we haven't really spoken about gaming stuff in this show for a while because we tend to do that on the Untitled Sci-Fi show.
Yes.
But I thought, as a little treat, as a thank you for following us, as a thank you for supporting us on Ko-fi as well, James, this section is for you. And we are talking about arcade machines because I don't think we have. I've written about it on the channel84.co.uk webpage,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we've ever talked about arcade machines.
No, I don't think you and I really, not on here, and probably not that much in person either.
And
really?
I think it's a really sad state of affairs in the UK because we just don't have arcades now. And what people call arcades are just really shitty, piss-poor, ticket-spouting machines.
Mm.
I don't call them arcades. They are not arcades anymore.
Yeah, well, I can say this because when this comes out, I'll already be back from this place. So, you can't find me. Going to the Trafford Centre this weekend, and there is a 100-unit arcade place in there, apparently, I found out today. After researching things, this
proper arcade or modern arcade?
It had a few pictures, and it did look like it had some arcade cabinets in it.
Fine.
So,
okay.
Well, I'll let you know because I'm going to take tea. So,
well, yeah, no, 100% keep me posted on that one. I mean, I know there's a fair few places. I know there's one in Milton Keynes called, I think it's called the Retro Bunker.
Yeah, we were looking to go there.
There's the Blackpool trip we're hopefully planning in October or whenever it is, which will just be unlimited arcade machines of our youth. So that's all very exciting. But realistically, in most places now, you can't walk around and find a decent arcade anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, the ones in bowling alleys, like cinemas used to have a fairly decent little arcade. They used to have five or six machines in a cinema foyer.
They used to have them in Jarman Park.
Yeah, Jarman Park's arcade is one of the ones I grew up with. That was an amazing a bowling alley. You had a Burger King in there. Mm-hmm. You had the arcade. You had the snooker and the pool table. I used to play pool there all the time.
It was called.
Yeah, good memory.
Yep.
So you could have a whole bloody day at Jarman Park in the old days. You could go to the cinema when it was Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Then you could go to Aqua Splash, have a little splash around, maybe do a bit of ice skating in the afternoon, followed up by an arcade and a game of bowling. I mean, even then it would have been, to be fair, a mortgage breaking sort of money, but you could have done it if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Albans used to have an arcade, if you remember it.
I remember it more after the arcade was closed and just the cabinets were strewn around up there in random places.
So,
and then one by one, they all started disappearing. Do you remember?
Yeah, so this is the weird thing. So we'll talk about it very quickly. So the in shops were this weird indoor shopping centre that St. Albans had. And I think the best way to describe it to anyone that isn't a millennial or older is... You know what a pop-up shop is? One of these businesses that literally there's an empty unit there. Yeah, it's an empty unit. We're going to let a business rent it out for really, really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Their only time, they probably even put up barriers halfway through the shop so they don't have to fill the entire place. The in shops was permanent pop-up shops.
Mm.
It was kind of the middle ground to owning a shop or being on a market. So if you were traveling around doing popular market like the St. Albans Market every Wednesday and Saturday, you might have a market stall. But then you think, actually, my business is really good, but I can't afford to go to a shop yet. You'd go to the in shops and you'd get a little square unit and you could do what you want with it.
Yeah.
And that's what the in shops were. And it was brilliant. And there was so many. There was hairdressers in ours. It was the first ever soft play I'd ever seen. Rough and Tumble in there.
Oh, God. Yeah.
There was a tiny little toy shop in there at one point. That was the first time I ever saw one of those mini CRTs and a VCR recorder, and it was just constantly looping the same VHS tape, and it was for the Magic Worm toy, the one...
Yeah, the Magic Worm toy.
So you had that. There was an Army Surplus store in there. There was Grasshopper selling drug paraphernalia. Chaos City Comics, still running in St. Albans to this day, started in the in-shops.
Mm-hmm.
There was the game shop in there eventually. There was a little Indian chap who had a little electronics shop that sold alarm clocks and stuff like that, and I bought the NES arcade stick from him for like £5 when the NES had already been out of date by however many years. It was just one of those weird ones. And then you had a little food court that had like probably a potato place, a Chinese place, a burger place. It was a nice place to be.
Yeah.
But whenever there was an empty unit, an arcade would be put in.
Yeah.
And it moved around the in shops all the bloody time.
Yeah.
And the biggest it ever got was when you got in, you came up these kind of escalators. It's a TK Maxx now. It's really depressing.
It's a disgrace, yeah.
You go up the escalators and dead ahead of you, maybe about 10 metres, was this big double unit. And that's what Chaos City Comics moved into eventually. But it was a big old unit and it used to be full of arcade machines.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've got some fond memories. But then I remember it was when it was round in the food court as well. And it probably had about 10 arcade machines even then. And it was only this tiny space it was in. And weirdly, that's where Chaos City Comics started.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it started in this little corner one next to the food court. Then it moved to the double space. And you're right. What was weird was the arcade machines then got dotted around the place. So at one point it was over on the far left.
Yeah.
Then it was over on the far right. And then you could walk down all these little kind of winding kind of just alleyways between these little in shops. And you'd find like Alien 3, the light gun game, Terminator 2, the light gun game, the weird Aerosmith light gun game that was like firing gold records and whatever it was. And they were just on their own outside the occasional shop.
Try and help me remember Chaos City Comics, what it's like inside. When it moved to the one at the end, you'd walk in and was the till on the left corner?
No, it was on the right. So you'd walk in and it was straight on your right. Because they were right next to the door, so no one could walk out with them seeing.
For some reason, I remember it being on the left, and then you had literal columns. It was all of the walls were comics and stuff, and then it had columns.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, I never really went in there when they moved to the double side. I don't know why. It must have been kind of my interest had faded at that point. But when it was this much smaller unit in the corner next to the food court, that's where I bought God knows how many packs of X-Files trading cards.
Yeah.
And I used to, I didn't collect them in a tray. I just stuck them on my door with Blue Tang and just had a whole door of all these cards.
Yeah, I was on there with Spice Girls.
Mm.
Oh. Sad, sad, isn't it?
Oh, baby Spice. She's now Old Spice. Anyway, right. So the arcade moved around, but lots of memories from there. So we've done 8 minutes already.
Okay.
It's amazing, isn't it? Sorry, James. It's meant to be a gaming session.
Yes, sorry
for you.
About that, James. Welcome to the show.
you start going, what arcade games do you want to bring to the table?
So this one's a cheat because we were adults and it's Golden Tee Golf.
Well, no, that's fine. Golden Tee Golf.
You knew I was going to say it.
It's brilliant. It was better than the bowling game they released.
Yeah, the bowling game was obvious. Yeah, I think this is my favourite arcade game of all time. I have got nothing but brilliant memories of us in the pub playing Golden Tee. We played this thing almost every night.
100%. And it was still well-priced at the point that arcade machines were becoming a rip-off, and they still are a rip-off. Henry Hempstead Marlowe's, they've got the new Cruising USA game, which I will talk about in a minute with the original. It's like £2 a go.
Yeah, and because you can tap on a lot of them now, that's how they're getting arsehole-y, but they can put the price up because you're going to tap. One's really that I...
Oh, hang on. So Golden Tee Golf, if you haven't experienced it, it's a golf game that looks like it belongs on a 486 DOS computer.
It's not that bad. It's Sega Saturn.
No. When they started moving up, yeah. But the version we had was the early PC days version. Mm. Very flat with 3D terrain.
Oh, yeah, it was flat.
And
yeah,
basically it had a big-ass trackball in the middle. Mm-hmm. And what you had to do was you could choose which way you pulled the ball back and it would give you different swing.
Yeah.
And then you just had to splat that ball as hard as you could with the heel of your hand to make the ball go as far as you can. And of course, the warning would always come up on the screen was, do not over hit the ball.
Yeah, because you smash your hand.
You'll damage the machine. It's like, no, you're doing it because you know people are going to cripple themselves on this.
But also, you could then put a spin on it. So if once you've hit it, if you then rolled it back, you could do backspin.
Yes, you could rescue yourself if you over-egged it. And it's like, bring it back towards the hole, go, go, go. And the number of times, I think we all did it at least once, but I'm amazed our friend Mark's side quest, how he has a hand of fingers that look normal.
Yeah.
Because he was so drunk so often and smashed that so hard with his fingers hitting the metal side.
Yeah, plus as well, I don't think you can do that now without a CRT screen, because the CRTs, at least they had the glass front. If you did it on and now, you'd have to put a protective barrier over the 100%. LCD screen.
Well, even the CRT had a layer of Perspex over it, but you're right, they were just that little bit more resilient.
Yeah.
Go on, right, next game then, sorry.
I always go to the light gun games. Yeah. So Time Crisis 2, The House of the Dead.
So Time Crisis 2... Karen from Lightly Used, that's her. Let me have a look here, as I've got my notes here. And by notes, I mean I've just opened up WhatsApp. So Karen's message here was, my favourite arcade game is and will forever be Time Crisis 2. Bloody loves a shoot 'em up, which is absolutely true. I think they are.
Time Crisis 2 is a wonderful, wonderful game.
Until you come across the arcade who doesn't care about their machines. And that you're playing it and you don't get the recoil because it's just knackered.
Yeah.
And then it's like, right, I'm shooting him. Why is it 3 inches to the left?
Yeah.
And that kills the game, because I know you can just about say, right, well, I've got to aim there to aim. But it does kill it so much. Don't think I ever saw that so much with House of the Dead, though.
I don't remember House of the Dead having the recoil on the gun.
No, you might be right on that one. But House of the Dead 1 and 2 definitely... top games for me.
Yeah.
Even the third one, which was a pump action shotgun.
Yes.
Which was very cool.
Point Blank.
Oh.
Slightly more modern. I enjoyed that because of all the little games that it had.
You say slightly more modern.
I think it was more recent than Time Crisis.
No, it was before the original Time Crisis.
Was it?
Similar time, because it was released at the same time on the PlayStation with the Namco G-Con.
I wonder if that's why I'm thinking that then.
So you got the G-Con gun and it was a pack-in game with either... So you could get the G-Con with either Time Crisis or Point Blank.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were similar. I think actually Point Blank came out first.
Do they still work now? Or did that rely on the glass screens?
They rely on a CRT. However, there is two, I think, modern game guns now that will work on LCDs, computer monitors, and they work on old consoles.
Oh, I'd have to find one because I'd love that. I'd love
They're
to
like
get those.
They're like 200.
Oh, maybe not.
They are quite expensive.
Maybe not. Two specific car games, Sega Rally and Daytona USA.
Sega Rally. Both of them. And they are... Sega Rally, not so much. Daytona USA, I played in the in shops non-fucking-stop.
Really like Daytona. Sega Rally and Daytona are two games that if they are in an arcade, and I'm going to one, I will play them.
Yeah,
I will absolutely play those.
You can't not play those games. They're just absolutely bloody brilliant. Sega Rally, just because it's just one of the all-time best rally games that just exists.
It just got... your imagination of what being a rally car driver felt like. Just the way that you kind of didn't really have the grip so you could really swing the cars out.
Yeah.
So it just felt so nice to do.
And then Daytona, you genuinely... I don't know if it was just to do with the cabinet and how they'd set the sound up, because it just truly felt immersive.
Yeah.
You genuinely felt yourself trying to push the steering wheel and the pedal through the machine to make yourself go faster. It was that sort of game that really, really pushed your buttons and made you, I've got to do
this. Well, a lot of the time the Daytona one was a double cabinet as well.
Yes.
So you'd have two players and that was like, what? We can both play?
Well, it was up to four players, I think, the original Daytona USA could do. So you could have two double cabinets, I'm guessing serial together, and you could do four player. And I think I did get to see that at... the Japanese center, which was out in Edgware, and I cannot think of its name now, but that was this amazing Sega Japan arcade, and it had the whole 360 degree unit for Afterburner. It had just hundreds of arcade games in it. I've got all closed now. Really sad that it's closed, but oh my god, what a place that was.
My last one is more just to kind of I can't remember what the phrase is, but basically it's new. This is new for me and my son, and it's a game called Ice Walker. So I spoke about this. I might have said this on the show, or to you at least. So at Jarman Park now, they've got that, you know, arcade that's there now, whatever the fucking hell it's called. And in there you have this gun game where you both sit down. It's got two guns mounted, so they're like turrets. And you shoot at zombies that come towards the screen. Comical zombies, a bit like Plants vs. Zombies looking zombies.
Right, okay.
But you're shooting water. You're actually shooting water at your
gun. Yes, I've seen this.
And then steam comes up and stuff. And you, when you get power-ups and stuff, the actual water changes that comes out your gun. It's so much fun.
So that is, I've seen it, I've played it. That's one of the only ticket machines that I think, you know what, this is actually quite clever, because they've added that kind of extra dimensions to it. Whereas if you look at the Nerf version, because there's a Nerf version of that game, which is just a giant like 60 or 80 inch screen, and it's just just a giant shooting range, and you just sit there with the trigger and you just go, you don't even need to concentrate, you just go and spin your hand around, and you'll get told, yeah, well done, you've got a great score, and get about 50 tickets. It's like, this was pointless.
The only bad thing about it when we tried it was it kept coming up saying to tell the staff it needs more water.
Right, okay.
That was a downside to it. Because we played it for two goes before we knew it shot water, because there wasn't any water in it.
Oh, no.
And then on the third go, it started shooting water. We both just looked at it and were like, what? And then it started coming up with the error message. See, like, but this is brilliant now.
I wonder if it's designed to be plumbed in.
I think
so. It can be run two ways. Either you have a reservoir or you... Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
He keeps asking to go back, so I'm hoping when we go back and we play that, it'll be there. But I'm also hoping if they've got it in the Trafford Centre.
No, that's very cool. So very quickly, the Edgware Colindale side of London was called the Yauhan Centre, and it became Oriental City, and it was called the Sega Dome.
Okay.
And I'll see if we can find some videos and post them up, because it was an amazing place. For me, okay, let's start with a slightly more modern arcade game. GCSE year for me would have been 99, 2000, probably 2000, I think. And when we were meant to be revising between exams, we were told, no, you don't have to stay on school site. You can go wherever you want. You can go home. As long as you're back for the exams, you're free. Mm. So I was at Palmer's in Garston. We used to just walk up the road to the Garston cinema, and we just spend the entire revision time doing arcade games. And there's two that come to mind for there when it was still a good arcade. Gauntlet Legends.
Yep.
Which we played four player. There were four of us. We even kept this. It was the first game we'd ever seen that gave you a save code for your character. Okay. So we all wrote it down, then came back and you typed it back in, and they had all your gold again and all your treasure and stuff, so you could carry on. That was very, very cool. And the one that really, really resounds and just comes to mind and never, ever want to forget it, they had the standing up Crazy Taxi cabinet.
Wow.
So okay. Not the one that you sat down, but the one that you had a little kind of semi-standing seat,
yeah,
the steering wheel, and it would just, all you heard when you walked in was the Offspring blaring out. It's like, I'm playing that game.
Yeah.
And we must have spent a lot of money on that. So though that for that era of arcade games, that was my jam. This is what I'm here for. Going back to the in-shops though, they had some weird and wonderful games. So as I said, they had the Alien 3 light gun game. As crap as the film was, the game was brilliant because it was this, you had a giant pulse rifle that vibrated. Then you had the Terminator game, which you basically, I vaguely remember, I think it was like an Uzi was the light gun version for that one. And that was just insanely hard. You'd like get 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds of gameplay, and then you were dead. So it's like, okay, fine. Not a fan of those two so much, but they were still good because they were there. But then you got the big arcades came in. The amount of money I must have spent on Cruising USA, it is still, to this day, one of my favourite arcade games. Because that one nugget you put in, and in fact, back then it was 50p a game, you didn't die when you finished a race.
Yeah.
Daytona USA was slightly different. I think if you came first, did you get another race with that one?
Not sure.
I genuinely can't remember if that was when it started changing, but Cruising USA, you only lost you lost your credit when you didn't come first.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, if you were good at that game, and I got good at that game, about £2 of credit, you could complete it.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I ever discovered an Easter egg in the game on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So you got four cars to choose from. You had this red one. You had your four cars anyway. If you held down change view, and it didn't tell you this on screen, held down change view, the cars changed. Yeah. You could have a police car. And the one that I used to use was the giant school bus because it just drove exactly the same as the sports car and just rammed things out of the way. It was absolutely brilliant. So that was one of my favorite games. Daytona USA, like you, spent a lot of money on that one. Then there's one that me and my best friend, Richard, probably played. Actually, there were two there we played the most. Metal Slug,
yep.
Which anybody who has gone to an arcade that's our age, if you didn't play Metal Slug, you missed out. It is one of the best arcade platformers that you can ever play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overly unfair. You get a good amount of game for your credit. It's got great power. It looked fucking brilliant as well. And Metal Slug 2 as well. That was just as good. And I know you can get really faithful remasters of them on modern consoles now. It's well worth doing if you get a chance to. So there was that. And then there was Die Hard, the arcade game. Now, I had Die Hard Trilogy on my brother's PlayStation.
Yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Brilliant game. Loved it. Thought it was one of the best games ever. Still think that. Seeing Die Hard in the arcade, I think, oh, wow, is that Die Hard Trip? Got to have a play at that. And it's not. It's a completely different. It's not even a Die Hard game.
Okay.
It's another one of these games that have come home from Japan and they've just gone, oh, the British and Americans aren't going to understand this.
We just call it Die Hard.
We'll just trademark it as Die Hard and that's it. And I think, excluding Cruising USA, I'm pretty sure Die Hard Arcade was the first game I ever completed in the arcade. And it's one of these ones, you basically start at the bottom of a tower and it's a beat 'em up. There's like four or five bad guys on each level. You beat them up and then you can go up. It's like a vertical version of Double Dragon, I guess.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the top, you beat the final boss. And if you're playing two-player mode, you've then got to fight each other to find out who rescues the president's daughter.
Don't you...
I mean, you could just say, well done, mate. Let's both save her. No, you've got to fight each other to the death.
Something like happened in Streets of Rage.
Oh, very possibly. Yeah, possibly.
Unless I'm thinking of the same game and I've played it.
Oh, I don't know. But this was completely 3D. So this was, it was released on the Saturn, to be fair. So it was that era of graphics. Mm-hmm. So there was that. And then before we go any further and carry on, as I could talk about this for hours. I really fucking good. These are the days that the fondest memories of St. Albans with the day when the arcades were there. What was it called? Title Fight by Sega. And you might not remember it. It was a boxing game. And the screens were slightly at an angle to each other. So you couldn't stand next to each other. You were stood at a slight angle to each other. Mm-hmm. And you had two joysticks. And you had to pretty much box how you wanted to box to fight the opponent.
I don't know.
So you would be a green outline and you'd have the opponent on the other side. And then on their screen, they'd be the green outline and they'd see your character. And yeah, you would have to move the controllers in the way you wanted to fight. So the left one was the left hand, right one was the right hand. Amazing, absolutely amazing Sega game. And I've never seen it at any of these retro places. And if it turns up, I am so spending half a day there.
Yeah.
As me and my brother used to play that nonstop. We ever went around town and he was like, oh no, I'll hang around with my little brother for once. We'd go into the arcade, we'd find that, and we'd just put loads of money in on it. But yeah, modern arcades, just don't touch it.
Yeah.
Tickets, the shit prizes, and they really are shit. They were almost worse than Kinder Surprise.
Have you ever been to a vagina museum? I thought that was just a phrase for visiting a granny prostitute, but apparently not. Butt sniffing, blood paintings, and more. Will Rob guess the chipmunks' fake museums from the real ones?
So we've had a little quiz with the help of the chipmunk.
Ooh, chipmunk.
Now, this all started thanks to TikTok. Yeah, again, TikTok.
Oh, I do love TikTok. I've lost my pen.
Well, that's okay. You don't need the pen for this one. This is just you telling me A or B, basically. You will need the pen for the next session, so we'll find it in a minute. Don't worry. So this is 10 museums. 5 of them are fake. 5 of them are real. Okay. And actually, no, I do want you to write it down. So look, borrow my pen.
I was playing with it a second ago.
That was your penis, Rob, you were playing with, not your pen.
It's far too big to be my penis.
So I'm going to read out these 10 museums.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want, we also have 10 descriptions for these museums. And what I've done is I've taken the description from travel magazines, stuck it into ChatGPT and just said, look, make these all similar so they are all similar to each other, because it's really easy to work out a ChatGPT fake one versus one that's just real. So they are all being modernized in this sort of way. And you can ask for the description if you want, or you can just straight up go with fake or real straight out, okay? And then we'll look at the end and see how you did.
So I'm just going to do like an F or an R on my little diagram here.
Okay, so there's 10 of them. And the first one is the Hybrid Taxidermy Animal Gallery.
Now, are there 5 real and 5 fake?
There are 5 real, 5 fake. I'm not bullshitting you with that. There are genuinely 5 that are 100% real and 5 that are 100% fake and that we could not find online, so we're pretty sure they don't actually exist.
Okay, so say that name again.
The Hybrid Taxidermy Animal Gallery. Would you like to hear the...
Hybrid Taxidermy Animal Gallery.
Well, would you like to hear the description?
It sounds like an art thing. Go on.
So, marvel at creatures like the elephant, owl plus elephant.
Okay,
and
I think this...
The llamadillo, llama plus armadillo, stitched together with deeply questionable artistic confidence.
I've got a feeling that that's actually real.
Okay.
But I wouldn't... I don't know if I knew it being its own museum. I thought it's like a... I've heard it's almost like Eurotrash-esque. You know, heard that kind of...
Yeah, that sort of thing. I know what you're saying. Well, I'm not going to give you any...
It's real.
I'm not going to give you any info on this, and you can go back and change these throughout at your own will.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum. Shall I just go straight with the descriptions?
Yeah, go on.
Explore over 2,000 types of barbed wire, including the infamous Devil's Rope, and learn how fencing shaped the Wild West.
Okay.
Next
one.
Okay, the Otoa Aquarium and Butt Sniffing. Wander through marine exhibits before entering the scent lab, where you can literally follow your nose to explore, how animals identify each other. Yes, even there.
No, that can't be real. So I've left two open-ended because I'm not sure yet.
No, that's fair enough. I understand. The Museum of Circles. From pizza bases to crop circles and ancient coins, this place is a perfectly round journey through history. No corners allowed.
No, we'll let it fucking bollocks.
I like the confidence on some of these. Okay, we'll come to the tree bark collection. Touch, sniff, and admire over 3,000 slabs of bark, including a celebrity section featuring splinters from the world's most famous trees. He's gone, ladies and gents.
Splinters from the famous trees. I mean, I'm putting that as real. I want to go there. I want to see these famous tree splinters.
Okay, well, this next one, the Interactive Baby Museum.
Oh, God.
All of these make me laugh, by the way, so I'm sorry. It's not just any particular one.
Interactive Baby Museum.
The Interactive Baby Museum. Waddle your way through oversized cribs, crawl under giant high chairs, and throw tantrums in a padded playpen. Just don't forget your adult nappy.
That sounds kinky. I think that's real. I think there's some sick fucker. That is Eurotrash.
No, this is Eurotrash. Vagina Museum.
Real.
From ancient fertility figurines to modern menstruation Activision, this museum lays it all bare, finally giving the vulva its cultural due.
Really, that's 100% real. That's got to be. People will love that stuff.
Okay, what about then the Blood Art Gallery? Features an eerie yet oddly elegant collection of portraits, each painted using the blood of the subject it depicts. Fancy a fox painted in fox blood? It's unsettlingly on brand.
Okay, now I'm saying that's fake, only because you said there's five real. I've already done four real, so I have to basically do lots of fakes now. But it's not funny enough to be one that you or Jen made up.
Well, I'm leaving this purely up to you at this point. I'm trying to stay as straight faced as I can, even though all of these make me laugh. And that's why I chose the five real ones, because I was like, oh, that can't be real. Okay, what about the Kunst Camera? Russia's oldest museum, home to a jarred baby with two heads, Peter the Great's curiosity collection, and a rogue's gallery of preserved oddities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the very final one then. The Celebrity Lingerie Hall of Fame. Peek behind the velvet curtain at bras, boxers and bodysuits once worn by the stars. Elvis's briefs and Madonna's comb bra await.
Oh, that sounds real, but I've put it as fake. Okay, right, I'm ready.
You don't want to change them?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going with my gut.
So, the hybrid taxidermy animal gallery...
I said real.
...came from Gemma's brain.
No, that sounds like it really is a real one.
Well, this was the beauty of using ChatGPT at this point, just to give me that one sentence. Because it did really well at making all of these sound genuine.
Yeah, even without the description, though, I can imagine that being a thing. I think not that name,
I reckon there's an art gallery. Probably done that before, yeah. But I think it's an art gallery. I don't think it was a permanent thing. Okay, Kansas Barbed Wire Museum.
Well, I bet that's fake.
It's real.
Oh, fucking hell. Wow, that's boring as fuck, isn't it?
Gingerbeard Mark, that might be somewhere you want to go for a wander at some point.
Oh, boring.
Okay, the Otowa Aquarium and Butt Sniffing.
All right, false.
It's real.
No.
In Japan, there is an aquarium where
You
can go and scratch and sniff various animal assholes and smell what their backside smell like.
Dude, they sell used underwear in
so does
machines.
Facebook Marketplace. That's not a criticism.
Yeah, but not on the side of the road in a vending machine.
The Museum of Circles.
False.
Correct, that did come from Jem's brain. The chipmunk did create that.
Okay, I got one right.
The tree bark collection.
Real, I want it to be real.
That's fake.
Oh, what? Oh, I wanted that to be real so bad.
The Interactive Baby Museum.
Is this number six?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
I've
yes.
said it's real.
That is a fakey fake.
Oh, God, I'm glad it's fake. That sounds horrible.
The Vagina Museum.
Real.
It's real.
Yeah.
You took a little deep breath in there. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, I wouldn't take a deep breath in there.
The. Well, again, we're back to the aquarium. He's just got it. He's just got it, ladies and gents. Okay, the Blood Art Gallery.
False.
It is sadly fake. I think it came up with a beautiful idea. I think, to be fair, someone probably will have done this.
Mm.
If they haven't now, they will soon. Okay, Kunstkamera.
Real?
Was real, yes. It's a weird Russian, German name, by the way. German named, that just is a museum of oddities.
Well, I think I have to be right on the next one because...
The Lingerie Hall of Fame. False. Is real.
Real. So how have I...
So first was fake, second was real, third was real, fourth was fake, fifth was fake, sixth was fake, seventh was real, eighth was fake, ninth was real, tenth was real.
Okay.
So someone can't count today, but he is very tired, so we will let him off with this.
I've only got three right.
You've only got three right? Well, you only got three right then. You didn't do too well.
But if I'd swap those two, swap that.
So number one was fake, yeah?
And I'm not going to do the maths. It's not for everyone. Me trying to figure yeah. out the fucking maths of this.
Oh, well. I really enjoyed that one.
That was good. I like that. But a shame, that's the worst I've done on any of the quizzes ever.
And good news. Friend of the show, Gingerbeard Mark, really liked the women's magazine Our School episode we did where you had to guess whether I'd made fake ones or not.
Okay.
He also said he could do better, which isn't hard. Mm-hmm. So he is going to write us some and we both have to guess which are real and which are fake.
Okay, I did like that.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one too.
I love a Mars bar, gently inserted, but that's for another day. Tom and Rob have a pile of chocolate and they need to decide who makes the best Mars bar and Milky Way. Will it be a shock ending? Find out now.
Okay, heading into the last bit of the show then before the outro. A few episodes back, and it probably is a fair few episodes back, we did a test. Who does the best fruit pastels? Wine? Did we do wine gums? No, it was fruit pastels and
jelly
it was jelly
babies. Yeah.
And Jaffa cakes. That was the third one.
Was it.
This time, we are doing fake Milky Bars, Milky Ways even, and fake Mars bars.
Okay.
Now, we both love a Mars bar, and we're both quite fond of a Milky Way.
And a Mars bar on the way here.
Snap.
So, and you know what? I can see Titans are on here. I prefer Titans over Mars bars.
Well, we're going to find that one out then. So let's
see if I can actually tell the difference. I won't be able to. But...
What we're going to do then, the chipmunk has very kindly cut some up for us. My kitchen has a giant pile of chocolate that's going to have to go in my snack box and sadly be eaten over time.
What a shame.
Oh, it's such a shame. But what we've got then, we've got fun-size Mars bars. Mm-hmm. We have caramel bars from Lidl, which I believe are fun-size as well. We have Titans from Aldi, dreamy caramel bars from Tesco. Then we have fun-size Milky Ways, the actual ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Lidl's version, which is Candy Cream, which I'm really not a fan of that name.
I don't like that name, even remotely.
I don't like Aldi's name. Dreamy with two E's.
Yeah.
And then Cosmic Whip from Tesco, which I really like the name of.
Yeah. I'm only familiar with actual Mars bars, the Titan bars, and Milky Ways.
Yeah, I've not tried any of the fake Milky Ways.
Yeah, nor have I.
And Titan and Mars. So I'm in exactly the same boat. Now, what we're going to do, first of all, then, we've got bags labelled 1, 2, 3, 4, and we've got bags labelled A, B, C, D. And I've got an envelope here that will tell us what those actually translate to. So if I just double check the last message from the chipmunk to make sure I've not screwed this one up. Okay, so the Milky Ways are 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay.
And the Mars bars are A, B, C, or D. So let's have a look here. I think whatever these are going to be will be the first one. So they're numbers. So we're doing the Milky Ways first.
Okay.
And we'll do it in the order of the numbers. Chipmunk. I've got number 2 and I've got D. Right, no, that's not on. Right, now I'm going to have to go through these. They were in two distinct piles as well, so I presumed. I just presumed. Oh, that's B. I presumed they'd be in, like, piles C. Okay. What is going on? This is when we find out I actually moved them.
Think about what one was labelled 2D.
No, no, no. One was labeled 2, and then the others were like C, E, and C,
no,
B,
so
and D.
So you muddled them up.
Well, I don't think I moved them. I'll check the camera. I'm pretty sure I bloody didn't. Right, okay. We've got bag number one. We're doing. We are doing the Milky Ways first. So we've got a chunk each. Let me. Oh, there you go. There's your chunk, and there's my chunk. So.
So we're not getting to see them all together.
No. So we. Oh shit! I've dropped my chunk.
Now this immediately has the hallmarks.
That's fake. That is
being a bit different.
Yeah. It is a fake one. You just know when you look at a proper Milky Way, it's so much more airy inside.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I think the shape of it is showing me because it's more squared. I'm trying to remember, other Milky Ways had more of an arch to the top of them. Let's go for it.
Yep. Well, I've shoved mine in. And what I want us to do is I want us to put down what we think it is and give it a score. Hmm.
Okay. Hmm. Hmm.
It's got a nice chocolate to it, and the creamy middle, it's not bad. It's not overly sweet, though.
I enjoyed that. I quite enjoyed that.
It's not overly sweet. I think, personally, I'm going to say, oh, do we
I'm
share?
I'm not telling you.
You're not telling her? Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, screw you, then. What would you score it? You can at least tell me what the score is.
Out of... What's this score?
Yeah, look, it's out of 5. I'm not going down the route because I actually want us to be able to quantify something for once. Okay? Get
considering Jem pulls me up on the scoring and
well,
you've gone and made
you
this
she
with
pulls
her.
Me off. We'll get over it.
Just made this with you and it's out of 5. Like, this
no,
is
she,
an outrage.
She hasn't seen this score sheet.
This is a fucking outrage.
Look, just get over it because we are going to overrun. You've already whinged
right,
and got a section
fine.
Destroyed. Right, come on. What are you going to score that one?
4.3.
You're a dickhead. You're such a dickhead.
Next.
No, I know I'm not doing this with you anymore. I'm done. I'm going to walk the fuck out.
Go on, pick C.
No, you know what? Fuck you. This is number 4. I'm not doing it in order now. And that's going to really upset Jem, and that's on you, mate. That is on you. There you go. Have your fucking chunk of number 4. Oh, God. Where's mine gone? Still in the bag.
This isn't an actual Milky Way.
No, it's a turd. Right, looking at the... Oh, wow, yeah, okay. So this looks a bit more airy. It's much smaller, though. And I'm just thinking, actually, we probably shouldn't have put the weights on it because you could probably start judging what things could be.
Don't rate that one, to be honest.
No, it's not as nice. It's chocolate wasn't as nice. The centre wasn't as creamy. Mm. Yeah, okay.
I still liked it, but it wasn't as nice as the last one that we just had. Okay, what number is this?
7.
No, you had to say, is it 1 or 3? Is it 2 or 3?
Yeah, 2. There we go. So, again,
that's
it's the wrong colour.
Yeah, it is the wrong colour.
That is not what I was expecting.
I'm not...
It's fudge.
I'm not taken with that one.
It's fudge.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That is not what I thought it would be. And... Whether or not you like fudge or not, because actually I quite like the flavour of that, I'm not scoring it highly.
I'm scoring on Milky Way.
I'm scoring on Milky Way,
yeah.
Yes.
So that was number 3, right?
That was 2.
Oh, sorry.
That was number 2. This is number 3.
This is number 3, okay.
So let me get this one open then. And I mean, straight away, you just know.
I got a feeling this is going to be what it is.
You just, yeah, straight away, you look at that, the colour.
As I said, it's got a bit of an arch. I mean, this one's actually broken, but...
Well,
yeah. Right.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to score it as that. I mean, what can you say about that one? That is a...
That's a Milky Way. I'm sorry. I think that's a Milky Way.
Yeah, that one, I'm going to agree with you on it, to be fair. I think that one's absolutely the Milky Way, and it's...
I think that's a Milky Way.
Having tasted all of them, that is the premium bar.
Yeah.
Now, weirdly, I would say that was the one I was the less certain about as a section. This next one, the Mars bar, I think that's going to be really difficult. Because like you say, the Titan bar...
The Titan is a fantastic, fantastic Mars bar wannabe.
Have you had the Titan ice cream bars?
No.
They are so good.
I mean, Mars and Titan do taste different.
Yeah.
But if you can't get a Mars bar, a Titan is perfect. It's great.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. First letter then is A.
Okay.
Now, what I've always thought... It's just hit the record button, why don't you? What I've always thought weird about anything that's fake. Now, that's definitely fake because I think the nougat, the caramel looks a bit lighter than I would expect it to. And the nougat, the squishy bit that you bite into, looks a lot darker.
Mm.
What I find weird about all of this, especially with the Mars bar ones, no one is brave enough with their brand to make actual Mars bar-sized bars. Even the Titan, they're not the actual size of a Mars bar you can buy from a newsagent.
And I know this because Mum buys both.
Mm-hmm.
She buys Titans for me and Mars bars for the girls. And they're in the same pot. The Titans aren't as big.
Mm.
Okay, what letter was that?
That was A, sorry.
A.
Mm.
I think that might actually be the Titan.
I don't know. I'm thinking. Mm.
But I've never had the other two.
So I would say out of all of this, with that nice. Specific one, it's nice. It's actually lighter. It's heading more towards a Milky Way in lightness than an actual Mars bar.
Might change my opinion of which one that is when I've had more, but that was nice, and I think it might be the Titan.
Fair enough. Well, now we're coming to number C. Sorry, number C. I'm glad you let me get away with that, but...
I did.
Oh, now, let's see. Now this
is just like the other one.
This looks just like the last one. There's less nougat filling to it.
A bit flatter.
Yeah, a bit flatter. So you're probably getting more width-wise than you are height. And you know what? It's the same softness as well, which isn't off-putting, but I'd argue it's not got the same firmness or crunch that a Mars bar chocolate does.
Mm. This is really difficult. That tastes so much like the one we just had.
Mm.
I don't know.
Which was actually my big worry. How many of these are coming out of the same factory?
That tastes almost exactly like the one we just had.
Mm. Yummy.
What did you say that was? C.
That was C. Yeah, I think that
I'm scoring it exactly the same. I can't tell the difference between those two. I cannot. I'm going to have a drink.
Oh, no, have a drink first. No.
I took over.
Okay.
Oh, that is...
So this was the difficulty, of course. Some are fun size and some are normal size.
Yeah, you shouldn't have put the sizes on here because this has got to be the Mars bar based on the fact it's tiny.
No, because the little one is a fun size as well.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. And again, same coloration. Caramel, if possible, is even lighter now. Oh, okay. Hmm.
Hmm. I don't think that's...
That was better? B, by the way.
Okay. I need to taste the next one to be able to decide what this is.
Mm. I'm going to say, whichever one that was, by the way, not very nice in comparison to what we've just had.
I think that might be the little one.
Yeah, well, we'll find out in a moment. And I mean, straight away...
Okay, yeah, this is A.
How sticky that caramel was. You just saw it created a string of a caramel where it stuck to itself. I'm trying to be posh about this, but the colour of the nougat in it is much more brighter. It's much more intense. The caramel actually is lighter than I thought it would be. I remember it from the advert and the pictures. It always shows that as that really deep sort of kind of goldy amber sort of colour.
Now, the reason I think that's a Mars bar, this one, is because the caramel gets stuck in your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
None of the others have that.
Mm.
Even the Titan... Whilst it locks down the flavour very well, doesn't get the texture right.
No, it doesn't.
Now, maybe I'll come out looking like an idiot like normal, but just look in the mirror. But I think D, the last one we just had, is the Mars bar.
Let's go through what we have before we open up the envelope. So, starting at the top of the list then, I think that was D, the one we've just done.
Absolutely, I agree.
5 out of 5 score.
Yep, 5 out of 5 because it's the most like a Mars bar.
It's got the crispiness of the chocolate. It's got the chewiness of the nougat. It's got the caramel that sticks. Absolutely.
I feel sick because I've had so much chocolate because I had a Mars bar on the way here too.
Right. B, the next bar down is the caramel bar by Lidl.
Now I put B.
I put B and I've put 2 out of 5.
I put that 3 out of 5.
That was more like a Milky Way to me. It was so much softer in every way and texture-wise. It was more Milky Way.
Yeah. I still gave it a 3 because I didn't hate it.
No.
They've all done a pretty good job at being Mars bars.
Oh, I don't know. See, I thought the caramel bar was very lacking in flavour. But that's between you and I. I've put C for Titan.
I put A. I could not tell the difference between A and C.
So I put C, A.
Other than the shape of it, that was the only difference. They tasted identical.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I've put them as C and A, and I've both just scored them both 4.
I did 4.5.
Because you're a dick.
No, it's 4. Or you can ignore all my points. I'm being
proud.
No,
it's fine.
It's 4.
So yeah, really close, and happily have those. Isn't it weird that Dreamy Caramel Titan, no one was brave enough to go, you know what, let's just make a pack of 4, like Mars does, and have them Mars bar size. Mm. I'd happily have one of those full size.
Maybe there is some kind of...
Maybe it's a trademark on the weight and
trademark
size.
Trademark thing saying my bars look like this.
A ridged chocolate log thing can only be this size if it is a... Possibly, I don't know. Then we come to the Milky Ways. 3 and 5 out of 5 for me for the first one, which
absolutely.
Is the original.
I think it's the original, the third one we had.
Candy Cream, which I still hate the name of.
Number one, I put
number 2 for that.
Interesting.
2 out of 5. I rated it.
So the one I thought was Candy Cream.
Yeah.
Was number 1.
Okay, so yeah.
So the one I said number 2 was Cosmic Whip, and I gave that a 1. 1.9, but I mean 1.
Oh, well, so that, interestingly, so if we think it's the same one, we've both scored it very lowly anyway, haven't we?
So then the same number we've both scored low, we just called it different.
So the Dreamy one with the 2 E's. Again, 2 out of 5. I put that as 4.
I put that as 4. We gave it a 3.
I just thought it was so lacking in flavour, and it felt odd. It just didn't feel right. And then, as you said, I've got 1. You've got 2 for Cosmic Whip. Mm. And I gave 1. So the one that you think is the Candy Cream, I actually gave 4 out of 5.
I gave it 4 out of 5 too.
Yeah, I thought it's a solid representation of what we think is a Milky Way without it being a Milky Way.
Yeah, so we've agreed pretty much
on all
of the scores. We just disagreed on which one we think is which.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Now, this is what I'm excited about, because honestly, we've got no idea about this. And this sort of thing, especially if we've been really bad at guessing, is a proper eye-opener. So let's have a look. Bag number 1 was Tesco.
Oh, you were right then.
I was right.
So it was actually number 2.
No. No way.
Let's get there. Okay, right, next one.
Bag number 2. The one I gave 2 out of 5, you gave 1 out of 5. Is the Milky Way.
No, hang on. What was number 1?
Number 1 was Tesco Cosmic Whip.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what I've done. That one. What? So
bag number 2, the one that we both rated...
The worst
is an actual Milky Way.
No way.
Mate, no way. Bag number 3 was Mr. Choc, which is the Lidl candy cream.
Wow.
And I thought that was the actual Milky Way. I gave that 5 out of 5.
Yeah, so did I.
It's got to be a fun size thing on the Milky Way, because you know what? I've got a full size Milky Way there before I actually went out and got the fun size ones. So I'm going to go into that. And then bag number 4 was the Dreamy.
That's the only one I got right.
So hang on a moment. Did I get them all right? No, I didn't get them right, did I? No, because I got Milky Way as number 3, which was Mr. Choc.
You got 2 right.
I got 2 right. So I got Cosmic Whip and Dreamy, and then Candy Cream and Milky Way the wrong way round.
Yeah, so I've got 1 point, you've got 2.
Okay. Bag A was... let me just check this, because... Okay, right. Bag A is... Oh, she's not written the right names down. I don't know why she's done this, so hang on a moment. Right, hang on. We're pausing. And you're back in the room. So.
Admin error.
Bag A was Lidl.
No.
So I've got that as a 4 out of 5, and I said that was Dreamy Caramel.
I gave that a 4 out of 5, and I thought that was a Titan.
Bag B. No, sorry, Bag A was a Titan. Sorry, ignore me. Even after going and checking the bag, sorry. Bag A was Titan.
Right, okay, so I'm correct.
So you are correct. I'm wrong. I put that down as a 4 out of 5, which we agreed on, but I put that down as a Dreamy Caramel.
Okay.
Bag B was Lidl, which I guessed, and you guessed, yep. 2 out of 5. Bag C was Tesco.
Yep, I got that.
So the Dreamy Caramel one, I thought it was. So I got mine switched around, but we agreed on the scores, meaning Bag D, exactly as we expected, was the Mars bar.
So how many did you get in that? You got two in that.
I got 2 out of that 1. So we drew in the end, didn't we? We got 4 apiece.
No, you got...
I got 2 in the last one.
You got 2 and then 2, and then I got 4 and 1.
Oh, you got all 4 of those, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, no, okay, well, you win. You've got Hooray. The superior chocolate tasting of Milky Way and Mars.
I don't think that's a real claim to fame.
Thank goodness for that. Another episode done and dusted. Let's go to the Muppets one last time, and I don't mean Kermit. Waka Waka. Oh, fuck it.
And, ladies and gents, that is the end of another Variety Show podcast. Rob, thank you very much for coming and getting diabetes with me.
Thanks for having me, and thank you, Oppenheimer Octopus, for being a guest.
Oppenheimer Octopus. Yes, we'll explain that one day, just not today. And we'll probably forget and never bring him up again. So.
He might be in the TikTok.
That's true. Anyway, thank you to everyone that listens. Remember, we are a little indie podcast. Although we're part of a network, that is a network that we created ourselves. We still need help. We still need you to share us. Every person you refer us onto is one extra listener. That doubles our numbers of listeners. So please do share our content. Please get people listening to us. Thank you very much to all our new listeners, including James. Again, thank you for the Ko-fi subscription and the donation. That is all going towards the running of the show, the webpage.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to all the new listeners. If you would like to find out more about the show, you can go to channel84.co.uk/The Variety Show, and that gives you just all our social media pages. That gives you access to all the episodes, and it's a really easy link to share. We'll add the Reddit page. It's because we are now on Reddit. So head over to reddit.com/The Variety Show, and that will get you to our Reddit community. Come and join and explore there, post on there, share things for us to see there. The reason we've kind of come across to that one is because Discord really is just, it's a social space that really did only work for gaming or if you've got a giant community already. While Reddit allows us to kind of share the stuff that we would share on Discord, but without the need for you to log in and see it. So we'll trial Reddit and see how that goes. If you would like to email either Rob or I, you can email me at tj@thevarietyshow.co.uk or tj@channel84.co.uk. You can email Rob at rob@channel84.co.uk or rob@untitledscifishow.co.uk. Or you can email both of us at podcasts, that's podcasts plural, @channel84.co.uk. I don't think I've got anything else to share.
Tune in next week.
Yes.
For the Untitled Sci-Fi Show.
Yes.
I played a lot of games, so I've got some games to talk about.
Ooh.
We've got lots of things to talk about on the preamble before we talk about what I'm sure is a very shit Men in Black film. What's it called again?
Men in Black 3. Men in Black International, sorry. No,
fourth.
It's not Men in
it's
Black.
The fourth.
Fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
Three it's was the fourth right. one. No Will Smith. Completely different characters. It's trash. We'll love to dissect it, no
well,
doubt.
Well, I haven't seen it before, so I don't know if it's trash.
I saw it at the cinema. It was trash. but we say, don't trust the reviews.
Yeah.
I'm reviewing it for you. It's trash. We're very similar wavelengths. But yeah, do tune into the Untitled Sci-Fi Show when that comes out. Go and subscribe to that as well. And also subscribe to our other members of the Channel 84 Network, which is lightly used with Adam and Karen. And also... subscribe to you're looking at me because
no,
you know
you screwed
I'm going to get
it wrong
because you
said Adam and Karen rather than Karen and Adam.
No, I screwed
That's
it up because I'm looking at you going, I'm not going to screw it up. I'm not going to screw it up. And I knew I'd screw it up by saying that. Who takes the socks off with Simon and Ross?
No, you got to say Ross and Simon.
Oh, Ross and Simon.
You got to swap it around.
Well, no,
it's not fair, isn't it?
You know, no, it's not fair that Simon had to massage Valentino, but he did.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't spoke to him since, and his rider's his rider. It's not my fault. I don't listen to him. Who's fucking massaging Valentino? You fuck off.
This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.